Several years ago, the vocational deacon who served my parish walked up to my office door, knocked on it, asked if I had a minute, closed the door behind him, and sat down. He then proceeded to tell me that after 33 years of active ministry across four different rectors, that he was retiring. Gordon, for more than three decades, had been a rock in our parish. 3 months later, standing in my office, when my associate rector walked up to that same door and asked if I had a minute, he closed the door behind him, sat down, and then told me that after several months of discernment, that he was taking a new call in the Diocese of Southern Ohio. 6 months later, our assisting priest, who had been a parishioner for 20 years before being ordained, walked up to my office, asked if I had a minute, closed the door behind him, sat down, and told me that he and his wife had purchased a house in Cleveland to be closer to their daughter. As a former Pittsburgher, the last blow was the worst. To help me out, we called an interim associate, and then 6 months later, he was gone. So on Thursday, when I got a text from Father Gabriel asking if I had time to speak on Friday morning, you can imagine how my heart began to race. And at 4 p.m. on Friday afternoon, I was praying fervently for our community as the email left our server here and went to your email inboxes. I can imagine and hold a bit of the pain and shock and disappointment that you must have felt. Gabriel is the fifth priest to leave this parish since the beginning of 2023, the eighth if we count the interims. That is a lot. Honestly, it is too many. The hurt and the grief that is felt in this community from the whirlwind of change over the last few years is real. It was made clear for all to see during the lead up to the search process. And the yearning for stability has been abundantly clear to me in the months that I've had the honor of being your rector. Gabriel is a good priest. He is joyful, kind, warm. He has an incredible voice. And for the last 2 years, he has been utterly committed to creating belonging in this community. He and I have not known each other long, but there is, I believe, a budding friendship. And I lament that he is leaving. Though I am trying to console myself in the reality that he will still be a colleague in this wonderful diocese. And yet, for all that, uncertainty remains for many of you. There are questions. Do I open my heart to another priest? When will they leave us? Why do they leave us? How many more times must we go through this? These are valid questions and concerns, ones that we will wrestle with. there are no easy answers. It would be overly simplistic to cast off our vocation of raising up young priests for service in the wider church. And this is not the moment to rush into decisions. We will do the work, we will do it well, and we will do it with intention. Now, I would be an absolutely terrible priest if I did not offer you at least some word of hope this morning. The prophet Isaiah wrote, "A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse. A branch shall grow from its roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord." In a time when the poor, the hurting, the grieving, the wounded were ignored and overlooked, Isaiah wrote of the day when new life, when true life would spring, when a green shoot would grow from that which was thought to be dead. And that shoot has changed everything. He assured the people that no matter how difficult this hour may be, that God is faithful and just, and that a new day and a new kingdom would be made manifest for all to see. It may not feel like it now, but there is deep resiliency in the church, and there is deep resiliency in this church. Jesus has come and will make all things new. In her Revelations of Divine Love, St. Julian of Norwich wrote, "Also in this revelation, he showed a little thing, the size of a hazelnut in the palm of my hand, and it was round as a ball. I looked at it with the eye of my understanding and thought, what can this be? And it was generally answered thus, it is all that is made. I marveled how it could continue, because it seemed to me it could suddenly have sunk into nothingness because of its littleness. And I was answered in my understanding, it continueth and always shall, because God loveth it. And in this way everything hath its being by the love of God. In this little thing I saw three characteristics. The first is that God made it. The second is that God loves it. The third is that God keeps it." Beloved, we are that delicate hazelnut in the palm of Jesus' hand, the very one that God made, the very one that God loves, the very one that God keeps. In this topsy-turvy world, it can be difficult to focus on that, but it is true. Christ, our mother, is in love with this place. Christ, our mother, is in love with each and every one of us. Christ, our mother, is always with us. Let us pray. Christ, you are our mother. We pray that you will shepherd us through this season. Guide us, lead us into your holy house. Throw open those loving doors that we may dwell with you all our days. Keep us safe, comfort us, and draw us to your loving breast, where we will hear your voice gently whispering to us, all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. In your most holy name we pray. Amen.